All right, we can do that. So, this morning, I just wanted to talk to you guys about this. Hopefully I write it big enough for everyone. Revival, right? It's a term that Dr. Elton Wilson used, and I feel like that's what we should discuss this morning. So let's pray, start off. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you that you've brought us all together. Lord, maybe we didn't think that we were going to be here this morning. Maybe we planned to be here this morning and everything worked out. God, I thank you that when there's two or more gathered together in your name, you're here with us, God. So right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be a part of this meeting. God, that you would use me just to share your word, to share what's on your heart, that it would edify these people, that it would build them up, that it would encourage them, to give them strength to endure, Lord. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So revival, what would it look like? How's it going? Good to see you. What would it look like?
In some cases, it would look like chaos.
It would look like chaos. Okay. Let's put that on the board. I got a board up here. Chaos. Sam?
I like that he talked about it. It would be a big change in schedule.
Big change in schedule. Yep. Big changes
in lives.
In lives. Yep. Anything else? Any other ideas? What would revival look like? Okay, what would it sound like? What would revival sound like? Would we talk different? Would we communicate differently? Anything like that?
There'd be a lot more joyfulness.
Okay, a lot more joy. Probably happiness. Yep. Singing. Okay. What would the change in our life be? Have you thought of that? Like, when it really comes down to it, what would actually change in our life if this term revival happened? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd be more, we'd lean more on God, right? We would listen to the voice of His Spirit. We would be following His leading and guiding. Maybe we wouldn't, maybe the things that we use our time to do would be different, right? Maybe we wouldn't watch TV as much. Maybe we wouldn't entertain ourselves as much with the entertainment factors, but we would actually spend more time doing good things or being in the Spirit of God or like going to church or reading our Bible, things that are pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. The thing that I want to maybe throw a kink in this morning is this term revival. Revival is something that, you know, when you think of what the word means, revival, right? It's kind of like re always means that it's bringing something back that was, right? Or a revolution. A revolution, it's coming back to the beginning, right? Just a full revolution is re-going in the same direction continuously, right? Coming back, and you'll see it in humanity, we have gone through these times and these seasons where Dr. Wilson did his whole demonstration of the Jesus, the fallout into the dark ages, and then up now into current. Now, that happened in the Old Testament continuously with the children of Israel. They'd have these amazing times with God, they'd fall out with God, then they'd be restored to God. in my training, they called it the seven cycles of sin, supplication, suffering, and salvation. That was what the children of Israel continued to do all throughout the Old Testament. They would sin, then they would suffer, then they go into supplication, which is like asking God, forgive us, please, woe is us. And then God would save them and everything was glorious again. And then, whoop, back down into sin, back down into suffering and the supplication. And it just continued. And in one way, it was a vicious circle, but they continued to have revival. Maybe it was years and years. And we've seen that here too. As Dr. Wilson mentioned, there was revivals with Martin Luther and then with the Wesleys, John Wesley, and all these different ones that he mentioned on up the way. Those were all miniature revivals because it was something that was being restored, right? They talk about it's the Great Restoration or the Reformation. And I feel like the Spirit of God, oh, one other thing about revival. You'll never see this term in the Bible. You'll never see the word revival in the Word of God, which is kind of like, We pray for it because revival brings our understanding of revival. It brings lots of good things back. Maybe there's lots of healings that happen. Maybe there's lots of marriages that are restored. Maybe there's lots of people who deal with things inside their emotions. They get better. You know, a lot of things happen in our understanding of revival, good things. But you never find the word revival in the book. It's not there. You can see that there are revivals, there are revolutions, there are restorations that happen in the Word of God, but you never see that word. So I got thinking about that, and I was praying about it this week. And I was just like, I said, Lord, why do we ask for revival? And why do we seek for revival? And why do we cry out for revival? And why do we long for revival if it's not even in your word? And last night, he kind of took me on a journey, which is really cool. And it started in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, which Dr. Eldon Wilson also referenced. And I would like to read that here for you. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 3. And it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Remember that phrase, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So not laying again those principles, right? Let's move on past them. So, in order for us to move past them, we have to have an understanding of these elementary principles. We need to know that Jesus died for our sins, and when he died for our sins, it was the last sacrifice necessary to cleanse us from our sin. That act didn't save us, though. We have to accept it. We have to say, Jesus, what you did on that cross for me, when you died for me, when you took all my sin and shame upon your back, and you died so I didn't have to, Lord, that was good enough. And I thank you for doing that. Please, please use your blood to wipe my slate clean. We have to understand salvation, which is accepting Jesus to be our Lord, to be our God, to forgive us of our sins, and then we turn from our wicked ways and we seek him. That's number one. That's the very basic of our foundation. Then it goes into, like it says, repentance from dead works and then faith towards God. And then the baptisms, you know, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, all those things. We need to have an understanding of them. Of laying on of hands, that there's power when a person lays another hand on another person, praying for them. God has this cool thing that happens, and he uses that. Also, the resurrection of the dead. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He rose again to life. And then the last principle is eternal judgment. When this is all over, we're all going to be judged before God, all of us. We're going to, for some way, shape, or form, there's going to be a judgment seat. However long it lasts, I don't know. What God's going to ask, I don't know. But I do know that we all will be judged. And thank God that Jesus has paid for my sin. Because I know, even if I, if there's been things I've done wrong, which I know there has been in my life, that God is still going to forgive me and he'll bring me into his rest. So more than all of those things, it says, let's go on towards perfection. And that's kind of the topic I want to talk about today, is the perfection that the writer of Hebrews talks about. I know that we're human. None of us is perfect. We've all made mistakes. And we know that Jesus was the only perfect person to ever walk the earth. He never sinned, ever. He was tempted. He was tried. He was put in scenarios where he could have easily given in to sin, could have easily just done the wrong thing, but he didn't. But it says here, let us go on towards perfection. Let us seek perfection. Let us go on towards that. And I think along the lines of revival, along the lines of the moving of the Holy Spirit, the moves of God that we desperately want, I think it has to start in our own heart. It has to start in our own life. We have to come to this place where we don't necessarily want to ever go back to the old way. We don't want to go back to former things. We don't want to go and revisit all of these things. We want to go upward. The Bible says, let us race. Let's see where that is. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Let's run the race to get the prize. Let's run this race with endurance to get the prize, to attain perfection. We can't attain perfection, but we can run towards it. We probably will never be perfect until we actually get to heaven and God totally wipes our flesh away and we become perfect in him. But I was thinking about this, and I don't mean to sound like weird or, you know, oh, we're going to be perfect in God and we're going to float and it's going to be happiness and all of this stuff. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I've just been thinking about this, and I'm merely just kind of submitting this to you so that you can ponder these ideas and take them to God for yourself. I really believe that if there's a church that is desperate for God, that is desperate for his heart, that is desperate to be intimate with him, then we're not going to have revival like we've ever thought before. We're not going to have a move of God that this world's ever seen before. It's not going to be a repeat of the former times, of the former moves of God. You know, it was great when the Holy Spirit came rushing into the upper room and baptized all of them with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke with tongues, and they had cloven tongues of fire, and then they went out into the street, and 2,000 people gave their heart to the Lord and found freedom and restoration and life and joy and peace in Jesus Christ. It's going to be greater than that. Okay? We don't need to go reverse back to that. We don't need to hope for the old thing. We need to hope and seek God for a new thing. And revival, it might still be called revival, because that's a term that we Christians use. Revival meetings here, and we're hoping for a revival. And there was revivals back in the day where everybody went to church all day long and all night long for months on end. I've been a part of those, and it's been awesome. But I think we get caught up on this idea too much. And we allow it to limit what God can do by our preconceived notions, by what we think God's going to do again. And I believe that what God's going to do again isn't something again, but it's going to be something new. It's going to be something that's just going to blow our understanding of what a move of God looks like. And you know what? One thing that we think that revival does, or is, or where it happens, is here in these four walls. It doesn't have to. Right. We might think that revival can only happen inside of a church building. Like God's confined to a box or something. He's not. The only thing God is limited to is our own faith. We can limit God by the amount that we believe and trust in Him. He's only going to go as far as we're willing to let Him take us. Yeah. So, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I feel like we've been praying for revival, but not changing anything. Not doing anything different. We've been living life the same way. Go to church, go to Bible study, we'll do an outreach, have the kids come get Easter eggs, you know. Maybe we'll go do giveaway hot dogs in the park, sing some Christian songs. We'll tell people about Jesus. But we're doing it the same that we've always done it. We're doing life the same that we've always done it. And if we truly want something great, something new to happen, a move of God to come and invade our life, to give us that joy, to give us that hope, to give us that resurrection life that was in Jesus' body when He rose from the dead. If we want something like that to come to our community where marriages are restored, where drug and alcohol addicts are totally set free, where people who are bound by pornography and all these other things that get us away from God, if we want those things to be changed and wiped away, then we've got to start doing some things differently. Maybe we cancel our cable. We don't watch all the sitcoms that I've got recorded in my hopper right now. You know? Maybe we don't eat dinner, but we pray. Like the Bible teaches us, prayer and fasting. You skip a meal, but you pray. You seek God's face. You know, these are things that we don't commonly think of, that we don't often do. And I believe if we truly want to see God come, then we have to do things differently. Because if we're expecting revival and we haven't changed anything, it's not going to happen. It's insane to believe that that's going to happen if we won't change, if we won't do anything different, right? If we want to grow, if we want to learn, we have to open a book. We have to change our life and go to class, right? We got to change our schedule. So I'm posing to you to seek God on what big change in schedule you need to make in order to get what we've been crying out for. And more than revival, we want just a move of God. Hebrews 7:28, actually we'll go to Hebrews 7:11. It says, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there for another priest? That's the beginning part of that. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, which was through the law, through the sacrificing of animals and goats and sheep and stuff in the Old Testament, like, what need was there for Jesus? And then again, in 7:28, it says, the law appoints a high priest, and those men who are appointed have weaknesses. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So when we're looking for perfection, when we're looking to attain this thing that seems impossible, the only way to get it is through Jesus. And this is how. Okay? The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And then that love is God, and God is love. And that Jesus is the high priest who has been perfected forever. And then it says, let the mind of Christ be in you. And then it says, what does it say? Let the mind of Christ be in you. So when you, and be in Jesus, and let Jesus be in you. And it's all like kind of pointing towards this idea that when we surrender to Jesus, when we surrender to Him completely, when we say, God, all that I am is yours, all that I want to do is yours, all my heart's dreams, desires, everything, my family, my wife, my kids, my grandkids, my aunts and my uncles, my grandmother, my grandpa, my dad, my mom, everything, even those closest to me are yours, Lord. Lord, live in me. You know, Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live, I don't live unto the flesh, but I live unto God. Okay? And so when you're living a perfected life, you're no longer living in the flesh, which is our human desires, our wants, our pleasures, the things that cause us to lie, cheat, steal, and do other things that are ungodly. Those are the things of the flesh. And so if we're not living unto the flesh, but we're living unto God, then there's been a changeover in our heart. There's been a change in our heart where Jesus now sits on the throne 24/7 without question. And the cool thing about that is that Jesus is the perfected priest ruling and reigning forever. Yes, Sam.
I just the study that we're going to be doing for our Bible study, I was just looking at it this weekend. One thing that we're going to be talking about is that old bumper sticker, a little, we get caught in these cliches. Even in the church, we get caught in certain cliches that aren't even true. And the one he focuses on are, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah. Right. No, you're not.
No. You've been purified. You found a way to overcome that sin through Christ.
Right.
You're a saint with access to all the power of God.
That's right.
That raises people from the dead.
Yeah.
And if you've been risen, then act like it.
Exactly.
Act like you've been revived.
Yeah, and so no, you're not, because you're more, the Bible says that you are more than an overcomer. The Bible says that you are more than the beloved, okay? The Bible says that you have the same power in you that rose Christ from the dead.
Amen. That's true.
That's what the Bible says about you. It doesn't say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo.
Get out of your woe is me attitude and take on the life of Jesus Christ that He's called you to live in, that called you to walk in, and called you to believe. Because no longer did He just save us from our sins and we can go on sinning. He saved us from our sins. The Bible says He's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of His marvelous light. That's like a total transfer. That's a total shift. It's a revival. It's more than a revival. That's a move of God. And the cool thing about light, right? Jesus is our light. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Because darkness cannot comprehend the light. And so when we've got this guy named Jesus, who is the perfected priest forever, living and reigning and ruling in our heart and causing us to live like He would live, and He's actually living in and through us, and we're just kind of, this is a kind of a bad way to explain it, because we're not robots. We're not. We have our own choice. But like, if you can imagine, like, and this is where it gets kind of weird, I guess. But if you can imagine like possession, if you will. Like somebody coming in and taking over and doing what, like, okay, Rusty, right? Say, for instance, somehow my whole intellect, brain, emotions got put in your body, but with your voice and everything.
That'd be scary.
It'd be weird, right? And you started doing things like I did it because I'm on the inside. That's kind of what we're looking to do, is allow Jesus to be on the inside of us. I've never watched that, but I'm sure you're probably on the right direction, yeah. It's not like this weird thing where, like, we just get zoned out, we get cross-eyed, we start walking like zombies. But it's a willing heart desire to say, you know what, Jesus, your ways are better than my ways. Your thoughts are better than my thoughts. The way that you do things, the way that you react to problems, the way that you think, the way that you speak is better than me. So Lord, speak through me. Cause my understanding to be your understanding. Make my heart beat for what your heart beats for. And when this exchange happens, we get closer to that perfection. Right. You know, let me be your conduit to work through. And so Hebrews 6, chapter 1 says, let's leave behind all these things and let's go towards perfection. We forget that. And sometimes we throw it out because we say we can't be perfect. And granted, that's probably true. But we can still seek for it. We can still run after it. We can still go at it with all that we've got and say, Lord, make me your instrument. Make me your vessel. Make me your man. Make me your woman. Make me into your image. Because we've already been created in the image of God. At the very beginning, we were created in the very image and likeness of God. But then we sinned, and that messed things up. Anyway. When you read through Hebrews, it talks a lot about this topic of perfection and the priesthood of Christ and even some of the characteristics that we can attain to as being perfect. And it talks about how the new covenant is the perfect covenant because it was the covenant to end all covenants. It was the last one needed. And now with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning as the perfect priesthood, as of the order of Melchizedek, I don't want to get too far off into that. He's looking for a sanctuary. Our priest, right? A priest needs a sanctuary. A priest needs a temple. And our understanding of that. And so he's looking for you and he's looking for me for him to come in and take over. Total takeover. More than a revival, more than a restoration, more than a revolution. Total takeover. And when he finds a select few or more that he can come in and he can heal our heart, and he can heal our mind so that we no longer think dirty thoughts. And he can heal our actions and our motives. And he can come in and totally change us from the inside out. It's a process. It really is. But when we surrender to Christ, anything is possible. Anything. And like I said earlier, we need not to continue to seek revival, but a move of God. A total transfer, total takeover. And we're not going to get that unless we make a big change in our schedule, a big change in our life. I don't want to be an insane Christian. asking for a revival, asking for a revolution, asking for a move of God, and not change anything in my life. I want to allow Jesus to take over and move and be. I wrote this down here last night. He's looking for vessels to join the royal priesthood, because you know in 1 Peter, it says that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special or peculiar people or generation. He also says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out and be ye separate. Come out from among them, and them not like transferring your geographic location. Because we can't ever be out of this world. We're in it. But we can't, and we don't need to be of this world. We don't need to live by the same standards, the same desires, same motivations that this world is motivated by. It also says, be ye holy as I am holy. And we know to be holy is to be perfect. But he says, be holy, for I'm holy. So he's saying there's a chance. There's a chance for us when we allow Jesus to totally take over our life, that we can march down this road towards perfection. He's looking for one that would become one with the perfect work that has been completed. He's looking for us, you know, just like Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, Lord, let them be one as you and I are one. This is the unity. This is the oneness, the closeness, the intimacy that Jesus Christ desires for us to have with him. That we could understand what he did on the cross was all that we needed to be done for us. And then from that place, you know, like when somebody wins a war, they win. They now are in rulership. They now control that country. And when they control that country, they are administering the victory. They're walking and living in the victory that they won in the war. And so many of us Christians accept the victory, but then we come down off of that and we get beat up by life and we stop living like Jesus won. We stop living like his sacrifice was good enough. He's looking for people who would rest in the salvation provided by the perfect one. Because he's given us rest, and he desires for us to be in his rest, so we no longer stress. Wouldn't that be nice? No more stress. It's possible. Because when it's no longer us that we're living for, we've got nothing to freak out about. Because God's handling it. He's handling it. I usually do this. I read a song here. And I just heard, my favorite band is Hillsong United out of Australia. And they came out with a new album that I just stumbled upon now, 6 months after they released it. But they wrote a song called Let There Be Light. And I'm just going to read right down through it here. There's no darkness in your eyes. Talking about Jesus, obviously. There's no question in your mind. God Almighty, God of mercy. There's no hiding from your face. There's no striving in your grace. God of mercy, God Almighty. Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in us, we pray, Jesus, have your way. There's no borders in your love. Think about that. There's no limit to his love. There's nothing that can contain his love. There's no division in your heart. God of heaven, God of freedom. There's no taking back the cross. No regret in what the cost. God of freedom, God of heaven. Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify your hearts in your fire. Breathe in us, we pray. Let there be light. Open up our eyes to your heart. We're desperate just to know who you are. Shine in us, we pray. Jesus, have your way. Good news, embracing the poor. Comfort for all who mourn. For the brokenhearted, we sing louder. Release from prison and shame. Oppression turning to praise. For every captive, sing louder. Restoring sight to the blind. Breaking the curse of the night. For all in darkness, sing louder. Proclaiming freedom for all. This is the day of the Lord. Beauty for ashes. Let there be light that shines above. Become the light that shines in us. There's no darkness in your way, so have your way. Lord, have your way. I listened to that song like a lot last night. Because that is my heart's cry. When I see people who are suffering, when I see marriages that are struggling, when I see kids that feel unloved, when I see people mistreated, when I see all the bad. I don't have to go down the list, but when I see people bound by drugs and alcohol addiction, where they just can't help themselves, they just keep going and doing, even though they might not even want to. They have no control. They just do it. I want them to meet the God that I know. And more than that, I want to get to know the God that I already know better. I want to have that intimacy with him, not in the weird marriage intimacy that we can share with a husband or a wife, but the intimacy of the soul. When we can get to that place of intimacy with the soul, with the creator of the universe who knew you before you were ever born, who had a plan and a purpose and a design for you before you were even thought of in your mom's eye or your dad's eye, before the creation, before the foundations of the earth, God knew you, the Bible says. And he had a plan for you. I want to get to know that guy better. Because when you become who you hang around with. It's said that you're the average of your closest friends. Whoever is your smartest friend, whoever is your dumbest friend, you're kind of right in the middle. And so the more you spend time with this guy, who is the top, the best, the almighty, the creator, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the man who cares so much for you that he sent his only son to die for you, when you spend some time with that guy, all your worries, just they're nothing. They're still there, concerns maybe, trials maybe that you have to find joy in. But nothing is impossible for God. And when you spend time with somebody who is passionate, when you spend time with somebody who is influential, when you spend time with somebody who is just like larger than life, you ever spend time with somebody like that or even shook their hand? It's like your whole world gets shaken just with shaking their hand, and the way that they address you is different than anyone else. Because they're looking at life through, like, if you will, heaven's eyes, you know? That's who I desire to be. Because a move of God is not going to come just from God just opening up the heavens and going... Pfft. It's gonna work the opposite way. It's gonna be on our knees. It's gonna be, God, here I am, use me. It's gonna be, God, here's my life. Fix me, mold me, make me. Allow your light to become the light that shines in us and through us. And so I'd love to continue just down this path. You know, I believe that the more that we talk about it, the more that we think about it, the more that we communicate with each other and with God, something's going to change in this town. You know, because I refer it back to my understanding of where the Ark of the Covenant, and this will be the last thing I talk about, we're running low on time. Where the Ark of the Covenant went in the Old Testament, that's where the presence of God was, over the mercy seat. And when David was bringing it back from the Philistines, after it had been captured in a war, a guy reached out and touched it because it was falling off the cart, and he died. Because no man can be in the 100% presence of the Lord and live in his earthly body. It's just impossible. Moses looked at God's back and they had to put a hood over his face because he was so brightly shining. But anyway, because they got scared, this dude died. They put the Ark of the Covenant at this guy's house. And just because the Ark was there, it changed the very atmosphere of that home and that property. The pumpkins grew bigger, the watermelons grew bigger, all the servants had more kids, and it was like an amazing thing because the presence of God was there. And that's what we should be desiring. That's where we should be attaining after perfection, his presence in us, living in us. And I believe when we become like Christ, the city of Governor isn't going to be, oh, that's Governor over there, it's dirty, you know, all the stuff that you've heard about Governor. It's going to be different. It's not going to be poor anymore. The houses aren't going to be run down. There's not going to be lack of money, food, because when the kingdom of God invades earth, it doesn't just affect the soul. It affects everything. So that I just submit that to you guys just to stir up your soul, stir up your heart. Hopefully encourage you. Hopefully cause you to want more, to create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, hunger and a thirst for God. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is within you. So sometimes you just need somebody to come in and just stir us up a little bit. Hopefully I did that this morning. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for all that you have done and all that you are going to do. And Lord, more than a revival, we desperately just want you. We don't want things to happen as they used to happen. We don't want things to happen, Lord, as they did in the past. But God, we want them to happen in a new way, your way, that your kingdom would invade earth through us, God. Have your way, Lord Jesus, in the rest of today, God, as we move into our fellowship time, into the worship service, and into the Word. God, let your presence be in this building, be in this place, that people's lives could be totally changed and restored and set on fire for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.